Praise the Lord. So good to be here with the saints, with my friends. I know so many of you are praying for me. I want to thank you, first of all, for those prayers. I could feel them. Sometimes we don't feel the prayers, but they're there, right? With the prayers is the love of the saints, too. And at one point, I was going through time and time again of extreme bladder seizures and pain. Of crushing pain, and there was nothing they could give me. They gave me morphine, Dilaudid, and Toradol all at the same time. I'm surprised I could think straight. Right? Yeah. And they said a big red thing on my hand says fall risk. Not only that, then they put little alarms on my chair and my bed, so if I got up, the police would come. So I was a prisoner in a real sense. It was like, I can't even get up to go to the bathroom. And if I did, they'd have to watch. Try that sometime. That's great. So I was, you know, the bladder spasms would come and go and come and go. As my bladder was desperately trying to relieve itself of the urine, but also the cancer that they took out. Any remnant of it was definitely not welcome. So I was in the middle of one of those episodes, and the Lord called me. I said, I'm a prisoner here. See this? I'm looking for an escape. It's got to be here somewhere. It's got to be here somewhere, right? The escape. He says, come with me, Peter. Right here. Come with me, right here. I want to breathe on you. He said, dear Lord, do you feel that pain I'm feeling? He says, yes, I did and do. I didn't go away. I didn't make the pain go away. It was still there. But I said to the Lord, Lord said to me, so what are you going to say about this? I will never leave you or forsake you. As your love has been faithful to me, I am faithful to you. In the corner of my eye, I see this demon. And his face turned horrid, evil, evil with evil. And he says, I'm out of here. I'll see you later. Oh, isn't that good? So in the midst of our trials, whether it be physical pain or otherwise, the Lord is with us. Whether he solves the problem with a solution that we like or not, I had to go through a few more days of that torture. And finally, one of the nurses stepped in the straitjacket and it was all over within a few seconds. And then they did it again, 4 hours. Then they said, but we need to have a more permanent solution. So they did a Foley cath, which is a lot more permanent. And so I was able to go home with that after 8 days in prison for people. I won't tell you the names that I called them. They weren't vulgar names, but they were not names that anyone would like. So I repent for that, Lord. There's some truly nice people that waited on me hand and foot. I want to thank the Lord for that. Well, today I wanted to talk to you about something the Lord's been patted on my heart for some time. It may seem different, but it's the same. John chapter 15. So if you turn there, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. So this may be a short sermon. Who knows? Once you start a sermon, who knows where it's going to end, right, Paul? Yeah, this is about the vine. I used to think that Jesus said, I'm the tree and you're the branches. What? I am the tree and you are the branches. No, that's not what he said. In fact, he says, I am the true vine. That means there's other vines that are not necessarily right on target, or that you're in the wrong vine. You ever find yourself all messed up? You don't know which way to go. There's no escape for you. You need to find the true vine. And he says, I am the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. Not you, Jesus in you. And then, I don't know if I really like this verse so much. It says, my father is the vine dresser. And if you know anything about vines and grapes and things like that, the vine dresser goes around and he does some strange things we think that are hurtful to the vine. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. That's the part we don't like. In the natural, we don't like. In the spiritual, we do. And every branch that bears fruit, oh, he loves those. He just loves those. Well, he prunes it. It's bad enough he takes away the bad branches. Now he's pruning the good ones. What kind of vine dresser do we have here? Well, we have one that has eternal work on his heart, not a temporary salvation of an embrace once and then you walk away, but an embrace in which never fades. Whether you're in pain or not, he is there. I felt him come down and kiss me on the cheek. Can't get better than that. You know, it says after Satan was done with Jesus at the 40 days and 40 nights, that the angels came down and ministered to him. I don't know how they did that, with touch, kiss, scripture, whatever, but I know how the Lord touches me. Now, more than ever, he says, well, why is he doing this? Lord, why? That's the question we always ask. Lord, what did I do wrong? That thought ever come up to you? The first thing that comes up to me when I have pain is, what did I do wrong this time? That's actually the wrong question. You already have done many things wrong. I was like, what kind of stupid question is that? Well, he prunes it that it might bear more fruit. Because as you prune the vine, it's not like a tree and a branch. It has, the whole thing is God. Not just the branches, but every part of it. And then he says to his disciples in verse 3, something that's really weird. I said, I know, Lord, just kiss my lips, kiss my cheek. And he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The word of God goes forth, and it does not come back void. It doesn't come out empty-handed. It doesn't come back with less fruit. It comes back with more. You are already clean. So there's a dirtiness about you that only the word could clean up. Is that right? How many people have learned that lesson? A few. Three. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to. Who speaks the word? Jesus. Back in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 4. Now, this is the hard part, because we like to step out of this. It says, abide in me. That means live in. Abide in me, and I in you. And we would say, I want to do my own thing today. I have a whole list of things that I want to do this afternoon. Mow the lawn is right up there. But maybe that isn't God. I read the news in the morning, and they have, you can get all news or partial news. And there's always this one about somebody in a lawnmower turns over and kills them or something. And I was like, there's some brutal, brutal ways to die in this world. You don't want any of those. So the Lord says, abide in me. Come on, live in me. You, Peter, live in me now with that pain that you're experiencing that's crushing. Come on, abide in me. And he says, you can't bear fruit of yourself. You learn that question over and over again. Why do you keep bringing it up? You cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, living there. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So living in God and God in you is something that's not optional behavior for a Christian. It's mandatory behavior. And yet, how many Christians do we know that have wandered from the vine, somehow think, he's the tree, look at that big trunk, I'm just a branch, who cares? No, it's the vine that you're a part of. He is the vine. And when he Father comes and prunes it, it's a part of him he's pruning too. He feels that pain. I said, Lord, did you feel that pain? More than you did. No, that can't be. This is crushing pain. Oh, yeah. That's the pain I felt on the cross. Yeah, I felt that pain. verse 5, says it again. I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine is just made of branches. It doesn't have a trunk. It doesn't have a main stem. He belongs to you and you belong to him. He who lives in, abides in me, and I am here. Oh, here's the promise. I cling to this. Bears a little fruit. No, much fruit. And as you guys were praying for me, I felt that fruit. Literally did. It wasn't something I just made up in my brain. I felt your prayers. I felt the love that was coming from your heart. I felt it this morning when you welcomed me here. And it's not just for a time. We welcome each other into the presence of God when we meet together. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. It's withered. There's no hope for you. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. Looks like things like he never existed. If you abide in me, though, and my words abide in you, you will ask. Oh, here's a good one. There's some promises in here which I'm going to hold on to. You can ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. My pain is mostly gone. I think Tim came over Friday night and says, I want to pray for you, lay hands on you. Just be careful where you touch, because I'm still a little sore. No, I'm still a lot sore, but only God can bring healing to you, your body and soul. By this, my Father is glorified. And the Father in heaven, his Father, your Father, that you will bear much fruit, and you'll be called something that nobody else can be called. You'll be called my disciples. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the joy that we have in the Lord is unrelenting. It doesn't care how you feel. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It doesn't matter how you feel. You feel it or not, it's still there. Verse 9, as the Father loved me. Okay, I can't imagine how much the Father loved him. He was there at the beginning. I also have loved you. And he goes back to this living in, abiding in my love. If you keep my commandments, how do you do that? How do you abide in the love of God? Keep his commandments. So there are some things that you've been doing that are wrong. Insulting people for the purpose of insulting them. I mean, I contrived a scenario in the hospital. I said, I know how to get these nurses' attention. I'll go up to the main desk, all the alarms are going off, because I'm in jail still. And I said, you know, I think I have MRSA. The head nurse quickly turns her head and says, get back in your room. You do not have MRSA. But it was contrived in my brain to bring evil to what God was trying to do good. You keep my commandments, you won't do that. If you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. The commandment, the first one is to follow him. Lord, if you're going to the cross, I'm going to the cross. Lord, if you're going off the cross and giving your life to the Lord, I'm going with you. And the enemy doesn't like to hang around with people who embrace the cross. The enemy will not stand there and watch you submit to Jesus. He can't stay there because the joy of the Lord is not his strength. The joy of the Lord is his torture. Well, good for you. Verse 11. Oh, these things I've spoken to you. And the Lord knows the spoken word is important to you. It isn't just hearing Peter Scott speaking to you this morning. You need to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. So these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy be made full. Regardless of the trials you're going through, that joy is going to be made full in you in ways you cannot even imagine. Well, maybe you can imagine. Sometimes you imagine worse. Right? So, oh, this is terrible, Lord. I was thinking about Auschwitz, and I said, that was worse. No, it isn't. Buchenwald was worse. Buchenwald, they just starved their prisoners to death. And I didn't have SMPO like for, what, 3 or 4 days. That means nothing to eat or drink. I don't know how I survived. All my veins were collapsed. Hank was there to witness this. And he says, they don't have trouble with my veins. I say, well, yeah, but Hank, you had water in you. And by the way, I'm really glad you guys showed up. Gary, thank you. Oh, well, here we are, verse 12. My commandments, this is my commandment. What's the biggest commandment? That you love one another like you love yourself? No, as I have loved you. That's the new commandment. The old commandment was you have to love each other as yourself. That's an Old Testament concept. The New Testament concept is love each other as Jesus loves you. That's a lot harder to do because sometimes you don't love yourself. Tim was confessing that this morning. I don't love myself. He says, I don't even like myself. Isn't that what you said? Almost verbatim. So I don't even like myself. Well, I had to give that one up too, by the way, Tim. You're going to have to learn to love yourself because God made you. I get up in the morning. I said, you made this body. It's your problem. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends, as you guys have done for me. You prayed for me. There was time you could have done something else, but you didn't. You devoted your time and prayer to me, and I knew you did. For you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit within you, is an important thing to understand, know, and follow. No longer do I call you servants, just obeying a word. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. You may understand the commandment, but you don't know what's behind the commandment. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from the Father, how many? All things I have heard from my Father, I have made to you. Oh, he's not telling me the whole story. Yes, he is. The cross is the solution. The Spirit-filled life is the solution. There is no other solution. The other solution is a prison for you. You can't find your way out. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Aren't you glad of that? Friend, Peter. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for that. As we take communion, I think of that. So you're my friend. For all these things I've heard from my Father, I made known to you. You did not choose me. Oh, yes, I did. No. But I choose you and appointed you. That's like you have a destiny that you should go and bear fruit. You have a destiny to do this. This isn't your own idea. You think it is. You look back and say, where did that come from? I didn't even remember reading that in the Bible. But suddenly the Holy Spirit is upon you and you speak the word of God and brings life to those that are around you. Your friends and people who don't even know the Lord. Doesn't really matter. The Holy Spirit has no boundaries. Is that true? Yeah. That your fruit isn't here today and gone tomorrow like so many preachers, but it's going to remain. That's why we can pray for the prodigal. There's the premise of it. Your fruit's going to remain. It's not going to go away. It's going to haunt them forever because it's the Word of God. And the Word of God does not turn void. And whatever you ask in the Father's name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you, what? Love one another. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. So this morning, oh God, I mean, I could go on. I'm not going to. Because there's other stuff in this chapter that needs more time. There is a place that God has called us today. That place on the cross, that place where we can go with him from the cross right into the most deadly place in the world, the most evil place in the world. I can't think of a more evil place than the governments of the world. And yet God shows himself up there. And our Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, he almost always starts with, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to say that name. There are others who would say, my Lord, my Savior, but not my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Something they don't like about the word Jesus. something they don't like about him. The demons in hell cannot embrace our Savior. They don't want to embrace our Savior as you do. So when the pain of life comes on you, whether it be physical pain or spiritual, emotional, don't be afraid of it. Just say, Lord, I belong to you. Body, soul, and spirit, all of it belongs to you. So Father, we ask you, Lord God, to come and dwell among us. Lord, I thank you for the prayers of the saints. How precious they were to me in the last few days, more than I have ever known. The smile, the touch, the embrace, the kiss. How wonderful you are expressed in them. You are God incarnate in them this morning. And I pray, Lord God, that you would bring to our memory the things that we have learned this day. And in these scriptures, the word would not return void, but rather increase. As you prune it, cut it back. We don't welcome it, but we know it's a part of the process, Lord God, of the vine dresser, of which you're pretty good at doing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.